Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The newsroom reporting interesting comments from the Taoiseach on his way into Cabinet, saying there will be further advice from NIAC today regarding the vaccination of 12 to 15-year-olds. He said this will represent a significant opening up of the vaccination programme to younger cohorts. So that gives you an indication of where that's going to go, and seems to confirm that NIAC will be issuing that advice and rolling out the vaccination programme to all over the age of 12 from today. Now, we all remember the row over the Phoenix Park gates, the one that became so fractious between Fine Gael and the Green Party that an entire report was commissioned into the transport and mobility options of Dublin's most famous park. Well, that report is back. It has recommended that the gates remain shut, the gas lamps remain in place for stargazers, and a 30 kilometre an hour speed limit be introduced. Patrick O'Donovan, Minister of State for the Office of Public Works and Fine Gael TD for Limerick County, joins us on the line. Minister, good morning to you.
Morning, Claire.
So we're talking about the green lung of Dublin City, the oasis within the hustle and bustle of the city and the suburbs. And that's why many Dublin City dwellers, including a sizeable number of Green Party politicians, they wanted to keep certain gates closed and change and reduce the traffic flow of the park. Now, you've decided not to do that.
Well, first of all, the report which you referred to actually came about as a result of us looking at the Phoenix Park through the lens of what happened post-COVID. And it was actually in the immediate aftermath of COVID that the guards made a suggestion to the OPW that, the Phoenix Park would close the gates as an emergency measure during the immediate steps of the pandemic, which the OPW did. But then as the country reopened, we decided that the gates of the Phoenix Park, along with everything else, would reopen with it.
Well, you decided, because the OPW said in June last year they wanted to carry on with that plan, that it was working. But you came in then in July and unilaterally said, no, open the gates.
I did, and I put a plan in place to do that, because what I decided was completely inappropriate was what you couldn't do is just decide to do something in a vacuum without having any regard to the residents in the immediate area surrounding the Phoenix Park, because as the traffic volumes begin to rise again, which is inevitable, as reopening came about.
You said that, but Nasa Harrigan from the Green Party said you have never provided data supporting the claim that the traffic had built up.
Well, if you talk to the residents and you look at the submissions that were made and actually look at the submissions that the National Transport Authority and the councils have made, but even outside of that, what I put in place was a non-statutory process that would mirror a Part 8 that allowed for all public representatives, all residents groups, all everybody with an interest in the Phoenix Park to engage in a process which had never been done before, to allow for everybody that had a view in relation to how traffic would move through, with the Phoenix Park. To have their views on the table, and we did that, and we did it in a collaborative way with two local authorities, which hadn't been done either in the past.
So,
and we didn't do it in a vacuum, and we've come forward now with a plan that will allow for a just transition of traffic into the Phoenix Park, because what has happened over the last 100 years, effectively, is communities have grown up around the Phoenix Park without having any regard to the Phoenix Park itself, and we can't just decide that there's something that can happen either into or around the Phoenix Park without having regard to our neighbours or the people that live in the immediate environs of the Phoenix Park. That would be irresponsible, and it's something that we just cannot do, and we're not going to do that.
Okay, so you're not going to create this green space where traffic is reduced?
We are going to do that. We absolutely are going to do that, and we're going to do it over a period of time. And we've set about a plan and a trajectory over a period of time that we're going to put in place a just transition where we have a plan in place now.
So how long is the period of time?
It's a 5-year plan that includes a review that's set out with the two local authorities, okay. Dublin City Council and Fine Gael County Council, led by the OPW.
So you've said this is going to be a just transition over a 5-year period. So
yes.
At the end of the 5 years, what will the Phoenix Park look like? Will it be in the main traffic free?
No, well, at the moment, pre-COVID, and I think people need to look at it and to contextualise it, 10 million car journeys per annum were made through the Phoenix Park. So we're talking massive numbers here that have been allowed to grow for years. And the OPW have, to many degrees, been kind of excluded from the narrative in relation to discussion around the planning of West Dublin and the eastern part of Leinster. So what we've done now is we've said to the other state agencies that have responsibility for planning, you know, the development of the eastern part of Leinster, you can't just ignore us. We are not a national primary route. We are not a commuter route. We are a very sensitive ecosystem. We are a very important environmental part of Dublin. And notwithstanding all of that, 10 million car journeys is something that is not sustainable into the future, and we need to put a plan in place to reduce it. We have to reduce it in a way that takes account of the fact that we have neighbours, we have very vulnerable communities in the immediate areas that are also saturated with traffic. And if you are going to do something like, you know, other transport infrastructure in the future, whether that's quality bus corridors or anything else, that just can't mean that you dump traffic in on top of us either. And so every reaction has an equal and opposite reaction. And we are very cognizant of the fact that, you know, that there is a growing population spaces in Kildare and Meath and everywhere else. But in developing that into the future, the Phoenix Park is really going to have to be factored out of that, those traffic modelling into the future.
Yeah, a listener says that it has become a car park, people using it for easy access to the city.
And one of the very first things that we did was we took car parking out of Chesterfield Avenue. And, you know, anyone that is using the Phoenix Park has seen that, and that's not coming back. It was one of the very first things that we did. And I think anybody who uses it can see that there has been a very, very clear benefit for cyclists and walkers. And we have a plan in place now to make sure that that's a permanent feature. And, you know, for people that are using the Phoenix Park over the last 12 months for cycling and walking, we have now for the next 3 to 4 months plans in place that we're going to enhance walking and cycling into the future. We've 20 kilometres of improvements already done in the last 12 months for cycling and walking in the Phoenix Park. We have North Road improvements that have been completed, and we have further improvements that we're going to start in the next 3 months. So we have already very ambitious plans completed and more that we're going to complete. But the Phoenix Park, you know, 700 hectares of land, you know, with 2,000 car parking places already in it, is a massive piece of infrastructure that is very sensitive and very finely balanced, but it needs to be looked after in a very fine way, and that's what we're committing ourselves to doing.
So in the short to medium term, the gates are going to remain open to traffic?
They are, and we're going to put pilot schemes in place over the next 9 months to see that the traffic changes that we're going to model from now on. We have modelled them on desktop, but now it's about implementation to see with the councils, and it's the two councils and the National Transport Authority will be the lead agencies ordinarily in relation to traffic management.
But you already know that it's used for 10 million journeys a year. So what are you expecting to learn?
Well, what we are expecting to learn, Claire, is that over the last 12 months, for instance, our traffic has yo-yoed. So what we need to do now is we've put a plan in place. We now need to see how it's going to work. We've also discussed this with Garda Síochána as well, who are also stationed in and headquartered in the Phoenix Park.
Okay.
So what we're going to do now is trial it and see over a nine-month period. This interfaces with some of the busiest junctions in Dublin. So we want to make sure that it works.
Okay.
And that's why we're going to do it over the next 9 months.
You had 2,200 around and about submissions from people in relation to this. And many of those people wanted more sustainable ways to access the park. But under current bylaws, buses can't drive through. Are you going to change that?
We are introducing a bus service, and this is one of the most exciting parts of it. It's going to link Broome Bridge to Houston Station. And we had most of our, I suppose, interactions came from the Greater Dublin area. But we need to start seeing the Phoenix Park as more of a national institution than just a Dublin institution. And if we're going to get people into the Phoenix Park, and millions of visitors come from all over the country, and if we want people to use sustainable transport and public transport, and leave the car at home.
You're going to run a bus through it.
We are.
And the Department of Transport will pay for that, will they?
Well, that's the next thing we need to get to. We have to get. We have to first of all get that in place. When we are very confident that we get funding for that, and we want to try and get that done either in the back end of this year, early next year.
Have you had conversations with Minister Eamon Ryan about it?
We've had conversations with the Department of Transport and the NTA, and we're very confident that we get the funding for it.
And a 30-kilometre speed limit?
The 30-kilometre speed limit, you know, I have young children, and it is, for me, this is one of the most important parts of it. I mean, we want to deter traffic from coming through the Phoenix Park, and there will be stick and carrot. So if we reduce the speed limit, we are hopeful that, you know, if we reduce the speed limit, it might be one of the deterrents again of trying to reduce that 10 million car journey. That if the speed limit is reduced, then we have crossing bays for people that are, you know, pedestrians and cyclists that are slow moving in the park. It might deter from people from coming through. So I will require primary legislation to actually get the speed limit reduced. Hopefully bringing that through the Dáil. In the autumn, we're already in discussion with the Attorney General and the Chief State Solicitor around that.
And explain to me the plans for a ceremonial entrance for Áras an Uachtaráin. What's that about?
Well, look, I mean, I suppose anybody that sees Chesterfield Avenue at the moment, you know, up to now, when we started this, I mean, Chesterfield Avenue was, in many cases, probably, you know, regarded in some respects as one of the longest public car parks in free car parks in Europe. We've done away with that, and we've taken an awful lot of car parking out of it. We want to see Chesterfield Avenue as more than just a car park, and we've done away with car parking there, and we want to see Chesterfield Avenue really, I suppose, expose the majesticity of the Phoenix Park and in all its glory. And it is also the entrance into Áras an Uachtaráin, you know, and it should be more than just what it was prior to that, just a line of cars.
So it should look nice. It should look fancy.
Well, no, it should be for pedestrians and cyclists in the first instance, and for families and for people who want to explore the Phoenix Park. But if a visiting head of state is coming into Áras an Uachtaráin, we shouldn't be bringing them through a line of parked cars. And that's why we want to do more in the Phoenix Park, and that's why we will do more.
Mm-hmm. But you fixed that now. The cars are gone.
We haven't. We've gotten rid of the cars, but we now need to do more in terms. And we've started this work, and I've spoken to the chairman of the OPW about this last night as well. We have a procurement process in place now to put permanent flexible bollards in place to protect cyclists and walkers and runners. And again, you know, this is where the slow-moving traffic as well. We want to get young families into the Phoenix Park, and at the drop of a hat, a young child, and I have young children myself, could dart out. So if a car is travelling at excessive speed, we want to make sure the cars are travelling at a safe speed that they have.
Yeah, that's the 30 kilometre an hour. What are you going to do to protect pedestrians from the cyclists? A listener here says it's a mess. It's turned into the Tour de France for amateur cyclists.
And look, cyclists have responsibilities too, and and I've seen it at first hand myself. You know, cyclists have responsibilities to pedestrians, and if there are designated cycle paths, we would expect that cyclists would behave responsibly as well. And we're also expecting dog owners to behave responsibly, and we're expecting picnic people to behave responsibly. You know, whatever you bring to the Phoenix Park, please take it home.
And what about the lighting, Minister? Because there was an issue that the gas lamps, that they don't give enough light. People who want to go out and exercise, well, they didn't feel safe at night.
You see, the Phoenix Park is a unique environment, and it's a dark skies environment, and we have to be very conscious of the ecology that we're trying to protect. So we are not proposing to change anything in respect of the lighting. It is very unique in terms of its dark skies, and we're not proposing to change anything in respect to that.
I want to ask you about something else entirely, because reports this morning, and we're getting them in again today, of significant delays on the hotline for the COVID digital cert, and people are waiting up to 90 minutes at a time. We had an email from a man in Carlow getting married in Malta on Friday, fully vaccinated since May, an awful job trying to get the vaccine, but he got it, and now he can't get to Malta because he doesn't have his cert and he cannot get through on that line. What does he do?
Yeah, look, I know I've experienced difficulties myself, and I've constituents that experienced difficulties purely based on the massive volume, and there has been a response, I suppose, in relation to that the additional lines have been put in and additional personnel have been put in, and there is a new number now. It's 1800 807 008.
There's no one answering it though.
No, and I can't say to people to be patient, because I know that people have literally been waiting hours, and I know that additional resources are being put in place around it. It is something that has been responded to, and I know that the matter is being taken seriously by the department.
Okay. Minister Patrick O'Donovan, thank you for joining us on the
programme. Thanks, Claire.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.